Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. We've got Justin Hale with us today. You're looking right here, Justin, right here.
Okay. Hi. I didn't know yet.
I'm teasing you. Yeah. So you are quite the entrepreneur. And I was excited to see you on our schedule. I didn't book this.
Okay.
I thought you were, you know, like we're down here and you're up here. And I'm like, there's no way we can land Justin.
You got way more billboards than me though.
So. Yeah, well, you got more street cred than us. So when I saw you on the schedule, I'm like, let's see if this happens. Let's see if he shows up because I know how busy you are.
Whose idea was it for me to come on?
That's a great question. I'm going to say Sean.
Okay.
I don't know.
Good.
Yeah.
Right on.
I don't have your number. You don't take my texts or calls. No, I'm teasing. You came in with some paperwork. What do you got going on here?
Well, I wasn't really sure what all we were talking about.
Is that
about
a gym contract? Are you signing me up for Fourth Avenue Gym?
I need to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those suits will look a lot better on you.
Well, thank you.
No, what I did was I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about. A lot of times it's about the charity work that I do in communities when I go on AM 560 or things like that. So I just brought you some of my foundation information. I don't know if you know much about it, like the details of it. So I actually brought some paperwork in it. That's it.
You came into my office a few years ago, 2021, when you first came into our office. And that's when I learned about this foundation. And I love it. I mean, I was hoping we would go there today because I played high school sports. And it was pivotal in my life and who I became and who I am. And I know it's the same for you. And so this foundation, my understanding, I'm going to tell you what I think it is. Okay. And then you tell me how close or accurate I am. And that will go to show you how much the community knows about it. My understanding is your foundation, it accumulates money from the community, donors, and then it donates that money in the form of sports equipment to the local high schools.
Correct.
Here in Yuma County. Yes?
Yes. Yeah, so that's the gym. You know, when I first started it in 2017, my whole idea was to take some of our funds, donate it in there, and I would just start buying new equipment. So the first year I did $12,000, which, you know, wasn't much money, but at that time there were six high schools. And so I was able to give each school like $2,000 in equipment, but we don't just give them a check. You know, that we tell them the budget, they tell us what they want, then we go and try to find the best prices. You know, I try to like, you know, I want to make sure the money gets the most bang for the buck.
I love that.
And so a lot of times if you write a check, it's like, well, where does it really go?
Yeah.
They don't ever really show where it goes. They don't show you photos. And so I started putting it out in the community, the photos and what we were able to accomplish. And then I started getting calls from sponsors and people like, hey, I want to help you out. So my first intention was never to like involve other businesses, but then people just love the way that I kind of like this show. It's very organic.
Yeah.
I put it out there very organically and I just put like, hey, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so then I felt like, well, man, these businesses all want to help. But I just couldn't take a check. So I have like a foundation wall inside both facilities at both locations of the gyms. And there's a money meter that's shaped like a dumbbell. And so throughout the year, I highlighted it, you know, with a marker, and I show people where the value is and where we're at throughout the year funding wise. So people kind of know what's going on. There's also the sponsor ads that go around that. So, and then I shout the businesses out on social media and I try to give them something for the donation that they gave me. So like last year we did I think it was a 92,000 last year.
Wow.
In 1 year.
No way.
About 40 of it was from the gym or more.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it was all fundraising. So, which is sponsors. And then a big one that I think it was last year was I remodeled the old gym. And
where at?
On 22nd Street.
The original.
OG. People call it the OG, which is so cool. You know, that one's been since 81. So, but the coolest thing with that was, we were remodeling it in the front of the entrance. When you walk in, we had an idea. Actually, it was my wife's idea, which is great. And I have to give her credit because if not, she'll kick my butt. But we were already going to put all new concrete in the front. So instead of doing the concrete, I was like, you know, let's do those custom bricks. So
I heard about this.
So we sold the custom bricks with people's names. And there's so much history in the gym being around since 81. A lot of people, they love it. There's been multiple generations that have gone through there. And so people really wanted to put their names in it. And ultimately people wanted just the support because they know what I do. And just that one idea, we raised $40,000 off that one idea. So we sold 400 bricks at $100 a brick. And I donated 100% of the money back because I was already going to spend the money anyways on concrete.
Sure.
And I think I spent like an extra $5,000.
Worth it.
But it was like, I spent $5,000 extra on the bricks, but I raised $40,000 for the schools. Yeah. So it turned out to be a great thing. So, you know, every year I try to think about a different creative idea to, you know, make it bigger and how do we hit another level? And so, you know, since 2017 in 7 years, we've brought in $332,000. And this year I'm on track to hopefully hit 67 so we can hit that $400,000 mark. So
what I hear you to say is you need to listen to your wife more.
Yeah.
You know, what I hear to say.
Exactly.
What role does she play in your life?
No, she's got her own job. You know, she works for a GE Medical.
Okay.
And so she works remote and does her own thing. And
she doesn't need you?
No.
She doesn't need a man.
Yeah, she's good. And she's done real well for herself. And ultimately, like I you know, she asks questions sometimes, like what's going on with her and what's going on with this. And she gives her input sometimes, but most of the time she's really good at just kind of letting me be who I am.
Supporting you.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing is like with all the stuff that I do between the foundation, I do work with Special Olympics. I do a lot of community work, you know,
right.
And then also between all the businesses, my life is stacked. So she really kind of lets me be free in what I want to do. And she always believes in, you know, what I got going on. So
you've got two little ones, right?
Two little ones, a 3 and a 5-year-old.
Yeah. And so how does that play into your daily life? Are they going to school now, 3 and 5?
They're at preschool still. Kindergarten, my 5-year-old starts in August. So okay. He's going to go to Gowan. So he's all excited. He said he's going to be a gator.
Okay. Yeah, I love it.
But he keeps having nightmares at nighttime of an alligator eating him.
Yeah. My second oldest son was just like that. We had shown him this video on YouTube when he was about 3, I think it was. You know, crocodiles, like you don't know they're there until, boom, you know, they get you. And so it was basically a YouTube mock-up of animals at the watering hole in Africa. You know, they come up and then boom, they get the gator or the crocodile just gets them. And so any body of water, he would just freak out. He would always think that there's alligators in there.
Awesome.
Rightfully so.
Love it.
Yeah, rightfully so. Okay, so we talked about your wonderful wife. We talked about your awesome kids. I want to get back to the gym, 4th Ave Gym. For years, I try to at least do Telegraph once a year.
Yeah.
Okay. And at the base of Telegraph are a godsend. There are some porta potties for those that make the trek. Okay. So if you park, I don't like to park at the parking lot. I like to drive to the porta potties and then start my trek there.
You do?
No, it's easy. No, but the real hikers, they'll park at the parking lot, right?
And that's about a mile from the parking lot.
It almost takes like an hour just to get to the bathrooms. But those are fantastic. I mean, it's always a stopping point for most of those people traversing. Yeah. And I was surprised at one point there's digital camo skin on these porta potties. They look pretty awesome. And it says 4th Ave Gym. Yes. How did that happen?
So that's another wife story. So I was,
dang.
I went hiking out there, so but that was my idea. I felt bad for her. So we went out there hiking and, you know, for a guy to use the restroom, it's very simple. For a woman, you know, it's a little more difficult and she had to go to the bathroom and, she went over and squatted over here around this hill. And then all of a sudden here comes someone walking over the hill and there's her bare butt.
Hello.
Yeah, exactly. And so I felt really bad. Cause I was like, man, I imagine every woman that goes out here, they have no privacy at all. Mm-hmm. And so then I noticed all the trash on the ground. Yeah. And so when I,
there's a dumpster.
It's a dumpster too. So when I got done that day, I looked it up and it's BLM, Bureau of Land Management operates that. So I called them on Monday and BLM says that they don't have the funding to be able to have restrooms out there. So then I was just like, all right, well, I'll just pay for it, but I'm going to wrap them. And they're like, well, you can't advertise on government land. So I was like, well, I'm not going to pay for a trash can, a dumpster, and for porta potties to be out there unless I get some type of advertising out to let the community know who's putting this out there, you know? And so they are like, well, you know, like we can't do it. And I was like, well, if you change your mind, let me know. And so about 90 days later, they just kept getting so many complaints about, because it's such a busy area.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, there's tons of people, that, especially in the wintertime, it's just packed. And so they finally called me like, okay, go for it. And I was like, all right, sounds good. I'll have them done. And, you know, I started off with a little trash can though, and it was just making a mess because it wasn't big enough. So then we brought in the big one. And when I came up with the idea, Clint Harrington actually stepped on up with me on Pilkington Construction.
Yep, Pilkington.
To help me pay for a little bit of it.
Clint is awesome.
Yeah, and then and so I got new ones coming out. They're actually going to probably be out next week.
Oh, really?
It's got our, it's, they're all new, and it's got the American flag as the wrap.
Oh, I love that so much.
So those will be the new ones, and then...
Are you saying new dumpster or new...
New restrooms.
Okay,
new someone, which is kind of sad, someone vandalized, they tipped them over and messed them all up.
Yeah.
We've had people graffiti them. Mm-hmm. We've had people tip them over, which is like, it's like, man, you hike 1 mile pretty much to get to them, and then you're going to take a marker with you to mess them up. It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. But I got to give a good shout out to Mayberry and C&D Disposal, though. You know, when I first set that up, I was willing to pay for it. And C&D gave us a huge discount. You know, and they pretty much said, we want to help out too. We love the idea.
Yes.
So collectively, you know, one idea and, you know, bouncing off other people, everyone wanted to be a part.
Community comes together. I love that story.
It turned out to be really cool. And it's been out there, I think I looked it up the other day. It's been 10 years already. They've been out there, or 10 or 11 years. But we eventually got the big dumpster because the trash was, you know, I noticed it was going all over the place. There was someone who wrote a letter to the editor one time saying that the bathrooms need to go, the trash cans need to go, because they felt like it was just making a bigger mess, which I agreed on the small trash can. But like, I always look at everything, there's any problem has a solution to it.
Yeah.
So like, you know, it's like, we just get a bigger trash can, we get a dumpster. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it fixed the problem.
Yeah.
You know, so... You never want to just get rid of something that's good. It's like, there's always going to be people who mess things up, but it's like also how do you fix it to make it a little more dummy proof? You know, so we just get bigger trash cans and get, you know, nicer stuff for them to have.
If you make it to the top of Telegraph, you can sign a logbook. You should put a logbook at the porta potty. So if you use it, you just sign the logbook.
Yeah.
Sign in and out, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Now we know who graffitied it, and you can say, I walked a mile to get to this thing.
Just to get to it. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's their
like accomplishment.
That's their logbook when they take their marker to graffiti.
Yeah, that's what you just do it on. That's what, see, yeah, encourage them to just write their name.
But that turned out to be a really cool thing. I think that was one of my first like real big community things that I kind of did. You know, my parents have, you know, back in the early 90s, they started giving. My dad was a wrestler, so they started giving free memberships to state placers and state winners, and so they always did that for a long forever, and they still do it. We still do it today. But one of my, and I've always honored that, and I continue to do it. And then I went to the porta potties, I felt like was my first one. And then I started my charity, which kind of supports all sports, you know?
Yeah.
And then now with the memberships and stuff, we give that to any state placer or winner, you know? So we always do that. Like when YC won the state championship a couple of years ago, we gave the whole team free memberships, you know, for a little bit. So
that's so cool. Yeah.
So it's just always fun to kind of give back and be able to do things that are, you know, good for the community and help people out, you know?
Back in the day, a few years ago when we first met, you told me a story about the foundation providing a scoreboard. What, I can't, was that at COFA?
Yeah, I've done, I think, 7 of them now.
Oh, wow.
At the schools. I've done both Gila Ridge, boys and girls, baseball, softball. COFA was my first one for boys baseball. I've done Cibolo's baseball. I've done Yuma High's girls softball. I've done San Luis's soccer scoreboard. So there's quite a few of them. And I remember the first time I did COFA's, you know, they had like the Pepsi logo on there. They had all this stuff. I took the Pepsi logo off and I just put a gigantic king. Yeah. You know, one of the things when I really go into the projects is I try to put a lot of school spirit into it.
I love that so much.
The colors, the school colors, the school logos. And I want these kids to have some type of pride.
Absolutely.
With what they're doing. I really feel like kids sometimes lack that. So if things look cool, you know, or they've got really nice like weightlifting bars that are the school colors, the school's names on them. They're like, oh man, you know, like maybe it'll excite them to go work out more, or maybe it'll excite for them to play a sport because they got really nice uniforms or a cool scoreboard or whatever it might be. So I really feel kids need that. And that's one thing I really try to emphasize when we go into those projects to get them done the right way.
I have a couple kids in high school here at Gila Ridge, and nice. I hate their logo. It's so crappy. And so for years I've been trying to like come up with a new logo for them. And it hasn't caught on, but now with AI, it's pretty easy to create logos, right?
Real.
So maybe you can put some effort into creating a new logo for Gila Ridge.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this. You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Yeah, one of my biggest pet peeves about Gila Ridge is the colors are like Carolina blue, black, and white.
Yes.
But the school looks like COFA.
Exactly.
It's all crimson.
It's the maroon. I'm like, what happened there?
Well, I think a lot of it, when they're building these things, they don't really think about that in the process of building it, or they maybe haven't picked it out yet. But like when they did Somerton, I've been involved with the schools a lot here the last 7, 8 years. I told them, I said, hey, when you do Somerton, would you guys please like pick the mascot, the school colors and stuff before you build that $43 million school?
Yeah.
Because you really want the school to have pride in man. I'll tell Absolutely. You what, I did a tour of Somerton and they just dialed it in. I mean, the
love that mural in the gym.
All of it is just fantastic. They knocked it out of the park. And yeah. So when I told them, they're like, actually, that's a good idea. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's like, you need to like dial these schools in, especially when you're spending the money in the beginning, like, you know, do it the right colors.
Do you know how they came? So how does it, do you know how the process works? I was recently down there for wrestling. My kids are in wrestling. And so got the opportunity to go into that gym, the new gym. They've got a fantastic, like the full length of the one wall is the western wall of the gym is completely skinned. It looks like a mural, but you know, on further examination, it's like a vinyl that they've printed, but it's just
like a wrap pretty much.
And yeah. I'm thinking, okay, yeah. Like you're feeling the vibe. Like it's all over throughout the gym, the colors, but those colors were interesting to me. It was like a brown,
kind of like a copper almost.
Yeah. Like a burnt, like yeah. almost like a
burnt orange.
Texas,
yeah.
You know, University of Texas. And I was like, that's an interesting color scheme. I would never have guessed that, you know? So I wonder how they come up with that stuff.
Yeah. I'm not sure. And I mean, obviously they're the Toros. So the Toro is a little bit of somewhat of that color kind of mm-hmm. to a certain extent, you know, but, I'm not sure how they do it, you know?
Yeah. I wondered if they use like, you know, they pull the community or something. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean,
so for Gila Ridge, my understanding, I'm completely ignorant, but my kids have told me, well, the guy that was going to, I think it was the principal, the new principal at the time when they're building that school, really liked North Carolina or something like that.
Okay.
And so that's why they chose those colors, because I always dog on the colors and on the logo. It's just horrible. To me, it looks like some kid like scribbled it out. Like my 4-year-old could do that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, you would think the district has some type of play in that. You know, when it comes uh-huh. to the board, you'd think it would be rolling through there, and they probably get ideas from people, and then you would think the board votes on it.
But it was obvious. Like I think so. They're building the. So I've had that exact same thought that you're talking about, because the school itself is like a crimson red, like all the architecture. And then you've got this disjointment of the Carolina blue is kind of their color. And I'm like, nobody was communicating, or I think they had a different color in mind at first, and then they switched it to this Carolina blue, which I'm not a fan of either, just because I think you need to stick with primary colors when doing high school sports. Just having been in high school sports, like back in my day in the 90s, we didn't have the ability to use Amazon. We had to get the eBay. You remember eBay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So not eBay. What is it? Is it eBay? Yeah.
Well, eBay. Yeah. That's the one you really kind of shopped on.
Yeah. So, not eBay. What was it? Easton. I can't remember the magazine, but it was just sports stuff. Like I would have to order my wrestling shoes from there. I'd order my cleats from there. It was a magazine that we'd get. Back in the day, that's how we had to do it. And when we would do that, like when I would order my shoes, my wrestling shoes, my school colors were red, black, and white. Clean. Love it. Right?
Copa, so
it
was super Copa easy. Colors right there.
Exactly. They have a little bit of gray. I'm not a fan of the gray, but red, black, and white. And so it was easy for me. I could get black cleats, like our red cleats, red, you know, just like a cherry red. So they only had like cherry red, royal blue, green, yellow, like your primary colors. And so I feel like when you use a Carolina blue, you're limiting yourself with the swag that you can get, like, or it's going to be a lot more expensive to get that kind of stuff. So I wish these schools would be more cognizant of that when they're putting their processes together.
We're getting up to quite a few schools now. We have 8 high schools.
That's wild.
I mean, when I went to school here, there was 3.
Where did you go to school, by the way?
To Yuma.
Did you?
I lived 5 blocks from there when I was a kid. So I just
walked to school.
I was able to walk to school right there, you know, until we got a car. But my parents still live in that same house right there.
Cool.
They're 5 blocks away still from Yuma High. It's been
now,
there.
Now it's a historic neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my dad always tells me he built and furnished that house for $30,000.
Wow.
I was like, man, you haven't had a payment in probably 40 years.
Yeah. That's crazy. I wonder what it's worth now.
I'm sure it's pretty good, you know?
Yeah. I think prices are going up down there just because like the historicity of that area, it's all these little, old 1900 houses are now becoming, you know, like vintage, and people are putting a lot of money into them, buying them and then restoring them. I think it's pretty cool. Keep that, that, culture going on. So what about the gym? You've got the gym in town, the OG, you've got the gym out here in the foothills. Yes. That one is like, that one is banging.
Yeah. It's a machine. So it's a, you know, we bought more land to the west, you know, I added more parking because when we first opened it, there wasn't enough parking and, you know, things like that bother me. I spent a lot of money, you know, just buying that extra 2 acres. And then I poured an extra 50 spots in concrete. We all know how much concrete is, but I really wanted to obviously make it, you know, comfortable for the customers. I don't want people parking in the dirt or getting stuck. And we have people out there getting stuck in their cars.
Yeah.
So we took the investment and did that. And eventually what I'll probably do is just make the place bigger, you know, so I'll probably just blow a hole out and make it bigger. But our main focus right now is Summerton. Summerton's where we're building our next one. So
is that right?
Yeah, so we bought the land right when you turn, there's Cesar Chavez Road that you can turn to go to the high school.
Yep.
And then right past that is the new road called El Toro Way, which is named after the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one right there is where Sunset Community Health is building their new hospital.
Okay.
Right now we're the front lot on the corner.
Oh my gosh.
So we bought that one right there.
Prime real estate.
Yeah. So they're going there. Sunset's going behind. Right in front next to us is there's a new 30,000 square foot grocery store going to go in. And then Hall's building some apartments and a new subdivision across the street where the new elementary school is. So I think that whole,
it's just going to go,
the West End bananas. Is going to blow up. They're building like a West Wetland Park back there with like kayaking, all that kind of
way.
Stuff. Yeah.
Really?
So it's all in their master plan. I've been working with the city, you know, because that was a city owned land.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like their development. So we bought it from them.
I see.
We've been working with them on it for about 3 years now or so. Just like,
is that an easy process? You know, convincing them, I guess, hey, you guys need a gym here.
No, they were, it kind of confronted us about it. And, you know, also a lot of them know what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Schools and stuff. And like, you know, like the Mr. Amaya, the mayor, his two brothers, they were twins and they were both, great wrestlers. I think they won state or they won. I know they won it as a team. So
I think you're right.
Cibola won it as a team, but, my mom used to always, take photos for all the wrestlers. We would always go to the wrestling. So we were very involved. So he remembers even what my family did for his brothers back then. So he just said like, you guys are a staple of this community. He's like, we want you here.
I love that.
And then I also told him, you know, my grandma was actually born and raised in Summerton when she was a baby. So she was there all the way until she was a teenager when she met my grandpa.
Wow.
So the way we look at it is we're going back home.
Mm-hmm.
Where my grandma originated from. And I think she'd be really proud to see us.
That is fantastic.
Kind of going back. So that was when we had to put a packet together to buy the land and explain, you know, why we're going and what we're doing. And that was one thing that we put into the,
did you?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We just like, grandma. Okay. You get it.
Yeah.
You get the contract.
We just felt like it's like something really kind of, you know, to me, history is everything. And so like, you know, with the gym, I love the history. I love always bringing in the history, everything. It's like same thing with like Yuma High. We were just talking about, you know, the history of that school is just unreal. The mascot is unreal. Like there's things that you want to keep it like solid. So you know, that's why I love how people call the old gym, the OG. I really try to put in the murals at each facility. I try to put in the murals where we first started, you know, in 81,
mm-hmm.
just to really kind of show people like, this is where we were then and this is where we are now, but we don't forget about where we came from.
I love that so much. What do you call your grandma?
I called her grandma when she was alive. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just call her grandma. My other one, I called her Meemaw.
Meemaw.
So it was Meemaw or grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. I had an Italian grandma and we called her Grammy. And then my other grandma, her name is Renee, so we would call her Grandma Nay.
Okay.
Just curious, you know, what do you think you want to be called when you're a grandpa?
I don't know, whatever they want to, I guess just, my dad's called, my kids call my dad Papa, and then my wife's dad, they called him Grandpa, so either one, I don't.
You don't care? You're not
going to
be?
I'll worry about that in hopefully 20 years.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
Not too soon.
Yeah. So we talked about your grandmother. We talked about going home to Summerton. We talked about 4th Ave. I want to ask you about this idea because I think you've been kind of going around it. And maybe this gets to the principle of the foundation. And that is, creating a sense of pride in the kids here in our community, in the school that they go to and they participate for, right? Why do you think that's so important? Is that a psychological thing?
I just think it's important. I mean, I just feel like a lot of kids gravitate to the cool things, things that look nice. And that's one reason why when I do those projects, I do them exactly how I would do my own business. I don't cut any corners, and I go all in on it. And I want it to last. I want there to be quality in the project and what we're buying. But I just really feel that the pride aspect of it is the most important part. Mm-hmm. It's the big piece of the puzzle. Because, you know, a lot of times when they do these things, these schools, they, you know, they're limited on funding. So they do them kind of, you know, rinky dink. They don't go all in. And it shows, mm-hmm. you know, and like, there's just like this basic scoreboard.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I really try to go into them and just dialing them in fat and so it make them look great. So it's just a,
so let's say Cibola or Gila Ridge, they need a new scoreboard. How does that work with your foundation?
So
what, you decide, okay, you're worthy of my funds.
So like last year, every school gets it was like $90,000. I think it was 92. And I gave every school 10 grand, the other 10, or I think I did 10 or 15 last year. I opened up an installment. And so what I do is every year I stick 10% into that. Right now I've got 35,000 in that account. So eventually once it gets big enough, I'm going to start giving scholarships out next. So not only will I go into the schools, but I'll also start giving scholarships out. And one day, hopefully there'll be $500,000 in there or more, and I'll be pulling enough, you know, dividends and things like that off of it where I can start giving one kid from every school a fat scholarship, you know?
I love that.
So that's the next plan down the road. I'm waiting for it to get built up bigger and bigger mm-hmm. and bigger. But when I gave everybody their budget last year for the 10 grand, they tell me what they want. It's the AD and the principal that I send the budget to. And so the athletic director and the principal then come back to me and say, hey, this is what we want to do. And then I'm like, all right, sounds good. So I leave it up to them. But also, since I've been doing this, I get a lot of parents who call me at the gym asking to talk to me. And they're like, hey, you know, like recently here, when it was a Cibola mom, and she called me and said that I think it was track and field or cross country, one of those, they didn't have enough uniforms last year. So I think there was like 98 kids that tried out for it, but they only had like 85 uniforms. So there was like 10 kids that didn't get to wear a uniform. Mm. They just wore something black. And so I was like, well, the best thing for you to do, I said, I can't,
yeah.
I don't do it. I
said, the athletic director.
Call the athletic director and tell him, I said, but I know who it is. And I talked to him. So I'm going to throw in a good word for you. Mm-hmm. So I called and talked to, his name's Dave. And I talked to Dave and said, hey,
what's going on?
You guys don't have enough uniforms or what? And he's like, well, no, he's like, we just feel bad. Like if we buy them new uniforms, then like all the other sports are going to want uniforms. And I said, well, the thing is then next year, you know, like if you do one uniform this year, the next year you do a different uniform,
sure.
You know, especially like they had been saving their money too. They wanted to do something big. So the year before they rolled over their money to the next year. So this year we just got them, it was a $21,000 high jump for track and field. So we paid for a portion of it, and then the school paid for the rest of it because it was such a big ticket price. But I said, but the thing is that you should just go ahead and get the uniforms. If there's kids that aren't having uniforms and the funding's sitting there and we have money to use, let's use it. So sure enough, he ended up agreeing with me, and we ordered them track and field. And the mom called me, and she was so excited. She's like, thank you so much. And you know, I was like, man, we had, I think it was at the time we had $16,000 in the account for Cibola, and then the uniforms was only like $3,000.
Yeah.
So it just put a little dent. They still had 13,000, and we put the 13,000 towards the high jump thing, and the school paid for the rest.
Well, it's almost like embarrassing, like showing up to an event and you don't even have your branding on. Yeah. Like,
well, yeah, only so many Cibola, kids do, but so many kids don't.
And the thing is, imagine like, we already, I feel like, get kind of the lower tier treatment when we go out of town. Like you go to Phoenix and we get treated pretty poorly, you know? I feel like, at least that's what my wife tells me, because she went to Cibola and she's like, I hate going out of town. We hated playing the Phoenix teams. They're just like, they think they're so much better than us. And that doesn't help. No wonder. Like when you show up at Cibola and you don't even have the logo on, like there's Cibola,
sure,
the dumpy Yuma, right? So it makes a big difference, I think, for the pride of the kids. And I always, when I played sports, I always wanted to look like my best. You know, I wanted to look like super sharp. And my theory was, if I look good, I'm going to play good. You have more confidence, right?
And I think that kind of goes back to like your comment there goes back to the pride part and having things nice and detailed and quality. because I feel like, you know, like if you wanted to look good as a as an athlete, you want everything else that you're using to look good, the scoreboard to look good. You want the other team to come and see your awesome scoreboard. And like, you know, I mean, it's just all of it all around. And that's the big one too, is that the state of Arizona cut off all funding to athletics in 2008. So they give $0 to the, to athletics. So what we do now is more than what the state even does.
Yeah.
The school gets an allotment of money and they still get that, but it's up to the school to say, okay, well, this department's going to get this. This department's going to get that. Back in the days, each department used to get so much money and the school used to get money. It was divided up. So they knew that they had so much money coming in to use for athletics. That, so they stopped that in 2008.
That makes sense because, so going back to my boys here at Gila Ridge that are wrestling, well, they do swim, they do wrestling, they do baseball, they do tennis, that kind of stuff. But specifically in wrestling, I was like, this year, and I think it's every year, I don't know, but I just took note of it this year. I don't know why this year, but we had to buy their uniform. And I'm like, why are we buying their uniform? We're already paying for them to participate in all this stuff. Like, we're paying for all this other stuff. Why don't they have school uniforms? I had school uniforms. You would check them in or check them out at the beginning, and then you check them in at the end of the season. But it goes back to what you're talking about. The same with mats. Like, we had to raise, I think, probably 10 grand this year to pay for new, they wanted to get new
wrestling mats,
right? So, I'm like, why are we paying for this?
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this. You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
That makes sense now.
Yeah, I just did. I know how much those cost. They're like 13, 14 grand for those new wrestling mats.
Yeah.
I remember when Chance and them were getting those, and we just did Antelopes this past year.
Oh, did you?
It was their first wrestling mat in 30 years.
Wow.
They've been using the coach. It was the same wrestling match that he wrestled on when he was in high school, and he's like 55 now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
his daughter is the one that won state this year and signed some full ride to some college. She did great.
Wow.
But it was, when you see something like that and you go out there, I mean, like, I've been real successful in things that I've done business wise, but it is the most rewarding thing. Like, when you see, it's not even the kids, but you even turn grown adults into little children again. Like, the teachers are the ones that go there and they use that year after year after year. The kids, they come and go every 4 years, mm-hmm. but the teachers are there for decades. Mm-hmm. And so those teachers really take, I think they get more excited than the students do because they're there every year. And it's just really neat. I mean, like, how excited they were about that wrestling mat. And like, I just saw the old one and I was like, man, that looks terrible.
Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't believe it. And to wait that long because there's no funding.
It's funny that you say that. Why is it that we kind of cling to that high school? Some of us, I mean, I do. I find myself, like, I'll create shirts and stuff with my old high school logo on it. Like, I've recreated it in Illustrator, you know, in a vector file. And so I can put it on different things as like swag. Every year we try to go down to where I grew up for what's called Rex Allen Days. So it's like, you know, it's kind of like our fair week here. And that's when you do the homecoming game and all that stuff. So I'll take my kids down there and I swag them out with my high school like logo and stuff. And it just feels cool. I don't know why, but I keep going back to it. And it's like the 90s logo. They've progressed since then, you know. But I like that old school 90s logo, but I don't know what it is about. We would create shirts, like we would iron on, I would, you know, print the vinyl and stuff. And then we'd iron it on our shirts to get ready to go down to the game. But even after the game, like, they wear them with pride. My kids do, like, there's a pride about it to them. So it's interesting. The psyche of it. I just find it fascinating.
Old things like that always come back around anyways. Yeah. They all become cool again exactly. Eventually.
Yeah.
And it was Mr. Leone, the coach.
The baseball coach?
Yeah, Leone. Yeah. That's who it was.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You have any good projects coming up that you can tell us about? Or
Right now is when the budgets next month, April, is when I send out the budgets.
Okay.
So I'm right on track. You know, I'm about 60,000 this year. This is a big month for me at Jersey Mike's in the foothills here. Every year they have their month of giving at Jersey Mike's.
Okay.
And so the foothills one always picks my charity. And so every year they give about $8,000, 7,600 to 8,000. So it's every day you can round up, and then it's Wednesday of next month, of next week, Wednesday, I think it is like the 24th, 25th.
Okay.
That's 100% of that day goes to our charity.
Wow.
So like I always go out there and buy platters for all my businesses, and 100% of the money goes back. So any money that you spend at that place, I mean, that's a big day for us on funding wise.
Yeah.
But, so I know I'm going to get to that like almost $70,000 mark. So I'll be dividing up the $70,000 budget between the
schools.
And so what I do is I give them the budgets. Then they're supposed to let me know by the end of the school year, you know, middle of May or so, what they want. And then I spend the summer knocking it all out. And then I get it done before they start school in August.
I love that.
So that's kind of like my plan of attack. Yeah. So that way they start the new school year with some new items and some new stuff. Or sometimes the schools are like, hey, we want a bigger ticket item, so we're going to roll this money into next year, and we want to get a scoreboard instead, or we want to get a wrestling mat. Because usually it's like last year was a big one because of the bricks, so every school got 10 grand. So this year, every school is probably going to get like, you know, 7,000, six, which is still pretty good, you know?
Are there ever times where you're like, no, I don't want that money. I don't want the money to be used on that.
No, I never. It's whatever.
You don't put any strings on it. You just say, here's the money.
The only thing I do is if it's something like Yuma High one year, they wanted a new ice machine. So I was like, all right, cool. Like, we'll get you a new ice machine, but I'm going to send out some guys to look at it. So I don't just order it. I go look, make sure that that's really a problem. So Andy Polar at Polar Cooling, they have hundreds and hundreds of ice machines that are just leased out. So they're really good at it. So I sent Polar down there to look at it, and they're like, hey, you know, the ice machine's only 2 years old. Mm. The ice machine isn't the problem. They're running hard water through it. It needs an RO system. Yep. So we bought a 300 gallon RO system for it, big enough to where it'll filter the ice machine, and they can use it. We put a spout on it so they can fill all the kids' bottles.
Oh, cool.
With reverse osmosis water. And I think that was 6 years ago, and it's never broke down again.
That's awesome.
So one thing I do is sometimes if I think that maybe there could be a problem and we really don't need to fix it, we don't need to buy something new, I'll send people down there, the professionals that I know, to look at it. And then, you know, if they said, yeah, it's old, it's on its last leg, then we'll buy a new one. YC, we did that here 2 years ago. We bought them a brand new, it was like a $14,000 ice machine.
You give money to YC?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think they deserved money.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously there's, they get a lot of funding, you know, but it's all private funded, you know? And then, I also just try to, you know, spread the love to all of them, you know, I mean, if I can. So, you know, there's a lot of kids there that go there on scholarships that don't have money.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, I just try to spread the love to all of them.
Talk about pride, man. Their football program and just that experience, like going to a YC game.
Unreal.
Pretty awesome.
It's like Texas football.
Exactly. Why don't the other schools do that?
I think that it's just going to take time for the school to be able to. I mean, that's the thing is YC. I mean, it's not even just football. It's all sports. I mean, they really push it, you know, with all sports. Mm-hmm. So, and I really feel like going back to Somerton, I think Somerton's wrestling program
is going to be bananas.
They're going to be the YC football program.
Absolutely. I love the atmosphere of athletics in high schools. It's just, I think it does more than probably the academics. And I'm going to get killed for saying that, but I honestly do. The work ethic, the team, the mentality, I think I see athleticism and being part of something in your younger years like that as being formative to the rest of your life.
Sure.
I lived it, you've lived it, you know, and you've seen the community live it.
Especially like you're saying, the team part, like you just mentioned, when they go into like the workforce, they're gonna be in a team atmosphere. Like even me, like I own my own business, I'm my own boss, but I still have a team that we work together. And I always try to tell them, we all, from the janitor to the front desk to myself and everybody, like we all have a job to do. So we all have to work together as a team to make sure that we are efficient and that everything looks good and we're operating at a high level. So
at a high level. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking, and you don't tolerate mediocrity. And you can tell like when one of the team members falls behind or something and you've tried to boost them up or you tried to help them and get them where you want them to be. It's like at a certain point, it's like we can't tolerate that because it drags everybody down.
Sure.
You got to go.
Athletics, like you said, is a big part of that. A lot of these kids don't play sports at all, and they just kind of sit behind a computer which is great. So they can get real smart. They can learn how to write code. They can do a lot of things, but ultimately too, it takes them out of being a better people's person, being around people, working as a team. So, I mean, I just feel like that's why I always feel like these kids, they get the jobs. at the gym, I was telling him, like, this is the greatest job that you'll ever have, because you're going to learn so much on a customer service standpoint. And say you're here for a year or 3 years, what you're going to be able to do after this, if you're really a people's person, you're going to be at sky's the limit.
Yeah.
As I said, if you can say hi, bye, how you doing?
Yeah.
How was your workout today? Oh, like, you know, just, you know, talk to people. I said, like, what you'll be able to do later on in life, it'll just be a game changer for you.
I like that idea, because it sounds to me like what you're saying is there's some influential people that are coming in every day to the gym,
yeah,
you know, because they want to keep themselves up and they have influence in the community. And if you can get in, it's the networking thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what you did.
Yeah.
I mean, you grew up in the gym, and all these connections have really paid dividends over time.
Big time.
I love that.
I think it's huge. And I think that some of them who don't like take that and take advantage of that while they're at the gym, they lose out. Mm-hmm. I always tell them, like, man, like, use this opportunity, mm-hmm, like, use this opportunity, please. Like, I'm telling you, like, you're just, the connections are huge. So
I can't tell you how many times like clients have brought up your name. So you definitely are a man of the people, if you will.
Thank you.
Yeah. All the time. Like, as in my daily practice of dealing with where does stuff go, you know, when I die, and making a plan for that legally. There's so many times where Justin's name comes up. You know Justin Hale? Yeah, I know Justin. Yeah, well, I mean, his foundation, his gym, and we just love it. You know, we love what he's doing. We love the guy and stuff like that. So you're doing good things. Everybody notices, and I would just say, keep it up. We need you to do that.
I appreciate that. I know one gentleman that's a client of yours, and you know, I know that he's leaving quite a bit of money to my charity.
Mm-hmm.
He told me one day, and I talk to him all the time, and I talk to all my customers. I really try to take care of him. And this is even before he even ever said anything like that to me before, but I remember one time he asked me about like a transportation service. And I said, where do you need to go? And he was like, oh, I need to go to a doctor's appointment at Mayo Clinic. I got to have surgery. And I'm like, so you're going to hire a transport company to take you to your surgery? And I was just like, dude, I said, just tell me when the date is and the time and I'll take you. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
So I took him. And then, you know, then years later, I've always been just a good guy to him, you know, just like I try to be with everybody. Sure. Years later though, he came and said, hey, I just want to say thank you. And I said, thank you for what? And he was just like, well, you really made me realize that I was leaving a lot of money to different charities, but really all I was doing was paying executives' payrolls. He says, most of this money was going out of town, not staying in this own community where this community has been very good to me. He says, so I've been watching your charity for many years to see like what you're doing and how you're doing it. And you've actually opened my eyes, and I'm changing all my stuff over to your charity, which I know he uses you. And I just, when he told me that, I mean, it was just like, that's what I try to tell people. When you think that you're maybe not doing anything good, but you really are, like, I'm just being the normal person that I am, and I'm just trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But really you're changing other people's lives too, or you're making them see things differently. Which, like, for me, for someone to leave me so much money to go into my charity, I'm just like, man, that's like unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I started that account, to where I could start creating scholarships eventually, because I knew one day
it'll pay dividends.
And ultimately there's probably going to be more people like that the charity will touch. And I just wanted a place where money like that can go eventually. And especially once that's big enough, I mean, the amount of scholarships we'll be able to give out is just going to be tremendous.
Do you consider yourself a religious person?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I definitely need to practice it more. You know, I don't go to church regularly. When I was a kid, I attended St. Francis, and then I went every Sunday with my mom. And my grandma actually was one of the biggest, the stained glass at St. Francis.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that purchased the majority of that.
Wow.
I remember I used to make my mom was a home ec teacher, and I used to make beaded crosses when I was a kid to make money.
Uh-huh.
My grandma would buy them all, the majority of them, all of them off me, and she would wrap them in $5 bills with a rubber band and take them down to like the homeless people.
Wow.
And give them a cross with the $5 bill around it.
Wow.
She was very religious, so I grew up in a very religious family, Catholic family, but I definitely need to practice it more. I don't go to Lord's house as much as I should. So
I was just curious, I mean, because it sounds like to me there's some motivation for you somewhere deep down to be good, you know. We say be good, but what does that look like to you? What does it look like to other people?
Yeah,
it sounds like just treat other people like you want to be treated.
Yeah, that, and then also too, I think a lot of, I had great parents, you know, it's all about how you're raised.
Yeah.
They, you know, my last name's Hale, so in the Hales, some of them are very quiet, the Hales, but they're all just really good, down-earth people that work really hard, and they just, they do the right thing. They expect you to do the right thing back to them, but ultimately, we're always just going to be honest people.
I love that. Good. On your mom's side, is it Hispanic?
No.
I just assumed that your white. Grandma.
Yeah, it's they're Williamsons. So okay. It's a 6 brothers and sisters on that side, and there were 7 brothers and sisters on my dad's side.
Oh, wow.
So I've got like, you know.
Tons of cousins.
Oh, I mean, I think it's 30 or 31 first cousins.
Here, pretty local?
Probably 8 of them live out of town. Okay. The majority.
Are here.
80% of them are here.
Well, that's a great way to grow up,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was.
Feel like you're part of like a tribe.
Yeah. My wife's the only child. So when she got with me, she come to family events and she's like,
can't handle it.
This is like the Hallmark Channel on Christmas. You know those movies you watch and it's just like all this chaos.
Oh, okay. I was like, it's perfect. Okay.
Yeah. But you know, she likes that.
She does.
Yeah. Oh yeah. In a perfect world, if we would have got started earlier having kids, we probably would have had at least 4.
The Catholic family.
Yeah. So, but 2 at 46, I'm not having any more. I'm good. I'm done.
Okay. Okay. All right. So. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we were out of time, man.
Perfect.
I told you time was going to fly, but yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah. I really appreciate you coming down. I know it's a big, big deal to take time out of your day because you've got so much going on. One last thing though, you mentioned your charity over and over again for our listeners. What is the actual name of the charity?
It's the 4th Avenue Gym Athletic Foundation.
Got it.
And, you know, you can you can go on the website, 4th Avenue Gym, athleticfund.com. There's information on there. People can donate on there. Or like you can come to either gym, I'm mostly at the OG gym. You can call me if you want to be a sponsor on our wall, or if they want more information, I can send them a pamphlet like I have here that I brought to you. I can send one to them. And you know, it's just, no, I just, the main thing is you really get to see where the money goes when I get the money. So it's like, I put pictures out, I show people where it's going and I want people to know where their money's being spent. So
I love it. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
And anytime, you're welcome.
Sounds good.
All right.
Loved it. Know it. Thank you.
Yeah.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.